We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It is another Sunday night. We've reached the end of May. We're about a third into the season. When standings start to matter, it'd be fun talking some baseball here. We're going to talk about another big pitcher bid, some interesting offensive bids too, all coming up next on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Happy Sunday evening, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by Rival Fantasy. We appreciate and thank them for that. If you could please rate and review the podcast, if you enjoy listening to us all year, that would be fantastic. Also, I am Scott Jensen, joined as always on Sunday night by Jeff Erickson. Jeff, we're 2 months of the season. Everything's starting to matter, and standings matter a little bit. Players matter a little bit. Rosters matter a little bit more. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Busy. It's kind of graduation season. My daughter will graduate next weekend, but her boyfriend was this past weekend, going to various celebrations and all that. It's good. It's all good.
Nice. Yeah. It's that time of year. I only have a first grader, so luckily we did not have any big graduations. I think
you had kindergarten graduation last year, right?
We kind of did. It was still kind of in like the ending of COVID, so they didn't really do too much. A little bit, but I think I'm kind of good until sixth grade, and then they have like a big deal. So
okay,
but summer stuff and plans and camps. It's going to be a lot going on, but we got a lot of baseball going on. Before we jump into this, Jeff, I think the Oakland A's might be the worst team in the history of organized sports. Can you refute that argument at all?
There might be a Cleveland Spiders team or something like in the turn of the 20th century.
They've lost 11 in a row. They have not won a game since you and I last spoke. Outscored 44-13 this week. It is so freaking bad. It's crazy.
It's tough out there, man. It's really tough. I mean, and I underestimated their badness. I thought it would be a classic. Hey, these are still guys that are getting a major league paycheck. They'll be not as dreadfully bad. I mean, the sports books are in the same boat. I mean, they're really sweating it now because it would have been hardest same level.
Yeah, it would have been hard to set the over-under at 32.5, but maybe they should have.
Well, they set it like 59 yeah. and a half, if I recall correctly. Maybe 58.5 or whatever.
You have to get on fire to win 59 games.
There's no way, man. And it's just the pitching is just so bad.
One stat before I move on, but the Royals are the second worst record in baseball, 60-38. They have the second worst run differential, too. They're minus 76. The A's are minus 199.
Already. We're not even in June yet.
There are 123 runs worse than the next worst team.
Yeah.
That's almost impossible to do to be that bad.
Oh, I agree. It's nuts. It's insane. It's terrible. Oh, so many different ways we can phrase this here.
Yeah. But I wanted to look a little bit at May. You know, I think we look a lot at April and like, oh, these, you know, this guy's hot, this guy's cold. We know so much about the stats because it's the only stats we have. But I was looking through some May guys. I want to talk about a few guys with you here. And the first is someone who was red hot in April. And I think sometimes we kind of just, you know, this guy's good. I'm going to play him every week. James Outman is really struggling right now with the Dodgers. He's at 169, two home runs, one stolen base in May, 82 plate appearances. Pretty much unplayable since his hot April. What do you do with a guy like this?
Well, I did bench him in one league over the weekend in favor of Jose Siri. The fact that I had someone like Siri to swap out was nice. But Yeah, you really had to start digging in and realize, oh, he's been that bad. Like every once, like he was bad, but he hit a big homer one week, you know, and like, okay, like I have him active on one of my teams in the main event still, but you kind of have to bench him. Like I would have probably had him benched this weekend, but Joey Gallo didn't play on Friday. So I was like, okay, we'll go with Outman again. And unfortunately he is living up to his name now.
And it's funny. I think we sometimes, like I said, we get lost in that. Like he's so good in April, you just kind of think he's a guy that you play every week. And like you said, you got to look at it. Jose Siri has been good, by the way. You mentioned him: 9 home runs, 4 stolen bases, really a ton of hard contact. He strikes out too much, but for where he was drafted, Siri's been a really good find for people.
You know, it's so funny. The bottom of the Rays order is ridiculous. Yeah. Luke Rayleigh sometimes bats 8th.
Yep.
He has 10 homers and like 7 stolen bases. And he's a platoon player, so it's frustrating.
Yeah, it's a bunch too, but
yeah.
The nice thing with Siri is he kind of escapes that the Margot, Harold Maris, Rayleigh platoon, just because he's so damn good on defense that they play him a ton in center field. So he kind of escapes. I mean, he sits every once in a while, but he kind of escapes that, you know, Rays platoon stuff just because the defense is so good.
Yeah, that's right. And the thing is, he's got to stay healthy. He's always been a guy that's been gets hurt a lot. So, you know, even this year, he's been hurt a little bit here and there. At one point, he was getting benched. He still strikes out a ton. That's the one thing about Jose Siri that you kind of have to be a little cautious about. I'm pulling up the exact numbers, but
he's a 29%. You know,
and last year, oh my goodness, it was 30. You know, just not just the percentage, but also Jose Siri last year, I think he was 20-108. Christian Bethencourt had a similar ratio. They have a bunch of guys like that.
And they go to Tampa and they just start to hit.
Yeah, Temple. Yeah, it's Devil Magic there apparently, but Bethencourt is a terrible defender still at behind the plate. Saturday's game was really rough for him. I think to the point where he got replaced late in the game. The problem is Mejia is not exactly a great defender in his own right behind the plate. At least reputationally isn't. I haven't checked the numbers this year. Maybe he is better this year, but that's. Tiny little, if that's your weak, if that's their weak point, and it's not even that weak of a point compared to, like, say, the Padres, where, I mean, it's a sinkhole at catcher. It's so bad at catcher. And the Padres have other issues, too, but really bad. You look at the bottom part of their lineup, and it's like, how does a team that spends this much money still have such obvious weaknesses?
Yeah, it's funny. You mentioned Bethencourt, 50% hard hit rate, 14.5% barrel rate. That's pretty wild. He really does
hit
hard, but, I mean, it just you're right, the defense, but he's been good too. He's got 7 home runs. You took him in the 20s in as your catcher 2 or even your catcher 1. He's worked out really well. But I want to talk about some guys who are hot in May. Jorge Soler, top of this list, leads MLB in home runs and RBI in May. He has 12 home runs, 25 RBI, hitting .296. This dude has been an absolute a monster. We've seen it in the past, but had some issues the last couple of years. Wasn't The 48 home run year was 2019. Obviously, this is a happy fun ball year, but 27 home runs in 2021 has obviously shown a lot of pop, a lot of hard contact, has dropped the strikeout rate. He looks really good. He was a late pick too. Another guy that's cashed in big.
Yeah, he has big time, and he's just healthy now. I don't really trust him at home as much. I still think that home park hurts him, although he hits some balls that stay hit anywhere. I was at the game Friday night. And the ball he hit straightaway center in Anaheim, I mean, it was deep into the trees behind the fences there.
Yeah.
People don't even realize there are trees there. It's kind of like Atlanta when we noticed that there's water behind the fences a couple years back.
Because Pete Alonso hit one like 480 into the water.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt Olson hit one in the water tonight in center field. And, you know, it's you look at that and you're like, oh, my goodness. That's the sort of power. Soler hit that one ball in the World Series, obviously, that, you know, it was similar of length there, and he's got that sort of power. But yeah, he's healthy now. He's crushing it. Brian De La Cruz is quietly having a pretty good season. And then they're getting Jesus Sanchez back too. So some interesting things afoot with the Miami Marlins.
Yeah, they're kind of they could piece together once Jazz comes back. They could piece together a pretty fun offense at some point. Curious what you think about Riley Green, as someone that everybody loved last year coming in. It was a rough rookie year. He did 364 in May. Are you buying in on this Riley Green pop here in May?
A little bit, yeah. I think he's a kind of a post type sleeper a little bit there. It's just struggled in his first go around. Gets better. And now I think that park will still forever limit him, even with the improvements in the ballpark for hitters. It's still a tough place to hit. But, you know, yeah, I like him. I kind of like Torque. I kind of like Akil Badu a little bit all of a sudden.
Grand slam today.
Yeah, a big one there. Jeez, Zach
McKinstry's got 10 stolen bases in there too. He's leading off a lot.
I know. Yeah. I know. And, you know, I view McKinstry as kind of like he's on a heater type of guy.
I do too.
But I mean, the whole team is a little slightly warmer now. They got another win today. Alex Lang with a really good outing, and he's quietly been pretty good. Tigers bullpen quietly been a little pretty good too. And
not only that, Tigers are one game back in the Central.
Yeah, Central's so bad.
It's so bad. It's still
both leagues.
You can still go AL East to Central, and it lines up the top 10 teams in a row. That's been the case all year. But yeah, Tigers are playing pretty good ball, and that's a division that anybody can win that division except for Kansas City.
Yep. Kansas City is. I mean, thank the Lord for the Oakland A's right now.
They'd be catching a ton of heat if the A's weren't so bad.
Especially because we were optimistic about the Royals a little bit, maybe not entirely optimistic, but you know, hey, new manager, new pitching coach, importantly enough. And it's not really working out that way right now. Pitching, especially, it's just really rough look right now for this Royals pitching staff.
It's funny. You look in that division. Of course, we talk about the A's with their minus 199. You assume they have the least run score. The A's have the second least run scores in baseball. Cleveland is the least amount of runs in the entire American League, 178 runs. Their pitching's been good. They've allowed 216 runs, which is like top five in the AL, but that offense has struggled pretty badly.
Yeah, it has. Ramirez had a big hit today, but you know, he hasn't had a ton of power. They have no power on the team. Josh Bell has been a colossal. I would say bust. Yeah. When Stephen Kwan's hit, you know, Stephen Kwan, I don't want to pin everything on him, but he needs to hit 290 to have value. He's not hitting 290. He's not going to hit you and he's not sprinkling any sort of like extra base hits. You don't expect home runs, but you expect maybe some more doubles and triples. He's not even really doing that. Jimenez has been pretty disappointing this year. I almost called him D'Angelo Jimenez. That and a throwback there, but
was that like Reds second baseman?
Reds, Padres, yeah, a lot of teams, and he ended up on a lot of teams. You know, the whole team. I mean, there's. You know, you look up and down that lineup, and it's a whole just palette full of disappointments.
They have two guys that have more than three home runs. I just clicked on their stats to see, and that's wild. Josh Naylor has seven. Jose Ramirez has six. I mean,
I was just gonna say one of them didn't even start today because there was a lefty on the mound.
Jimenez is 225 with three home runs. That has been he has nine. Oh my god, Andrés Jimenez has nine RBIs on the season.
Yeah,
and he has 173 at bats. That is. That's almost impossible. Like you think,
and a team like that, groundouts
for RBIs or something.
Yeah, and I like a pitcher's duel like anybody else, but that's just a boring team.
Yeah, it is.
I like it. You know, good thing they're putting him at 6'10" every day, so they get that game over with sooner than everybody else.
Yeah, if J Ram's not up, I kind of just flip on to a different game on the grid channel. He did have a big hit today against Ryan Helsley, who's quietly struggling a little bit. Had a two RBI knock to walk off with two outs. It was a pretty big hit. Cleveland needed badly.
Yep, big time needed that. And as Hunter Gaddis was good for four innings and then gave up three homers in one inning. Yeah. He's going to be out of the rotation soon. Savali's coming back this week. McKenzie the week after. So you know he's not long for this rotation. The question is, who else moves out of the rotation to make room for both pitchers? It really should be by merit. It should be Quantrill, but we'll see if they keep both Logan Allen and Bybee in there.
I mean, Bybee's got to stay, right?
Of course he does.
But yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a good call. It's got to be, if it's not Quantrill, it's got to be Logan Allen. Those are the only two real choices. I don't think Bybee's moving out. Obviously Bieber's not moving out. Savali's moving in and McKenzie's moving in. You're right. That gets crowded pretty quickly there.
It does. And they've already got rid of the worst pitcher in their rotation. So there you go. Now they have to try to figure out something else.
To mention James Outman is someone who's been struggling. A guy who was an April hero, Jorge Mateo, had a huge April, at least fantasy-wise, has been brutal in May. Hitting 111, OBP is 156, his slugging is 125 in May. No home runs. He's single digits in both runs and RBIs in the month. At some point, I know he's a good defender, but this dude has to lose his job at some point, right? He's got to lose at-bats.
I mean, yeah, probably. It's because I traded for him in labor. It's my fault. Sorry, guys.
Who'd you trade for him?
Giolito. But I chose to trade Giolito instead of Luzardo in that deal. That was the league where I lost both O'Neill Cruz and Corey Seager within 2 days of each other. So I had to do something. That was the best available thing.
At least Seager's back, but man, that's tough in a league, right?
Yeah, now, I mean, the thing is, he still runs a little bit whenever he's in there. And the thing is, like, it got me through for at least a couple of weeks, because the first couple of the weeks when I traded for him, he was fine. It was just this last month that's been really bad.
Yeah, I mean, he's still got 15 stolen bases, so he's still fantasy wise. He's got 6 home runs. It's just crazy how all of those stats are in April. Yeah. Pitching wise, I'm curious your thoughts on Justin Verlander. Obviously, he just came back. He's only pitched in May, but he's made 5 starts in May. The 2 of the last 3, he gave up 6 runs. K rate's at 18% right now. Are you concerned at all, or is this like he's ramping up? He's kind of getting going, but it's been a rough start to the season through 30 innings.
I mean, I think it's a little both. I think I am a little concerned, but I also think it is ramping up too. I mean, it makes you wonder, did he come back too soon? Is he not quite at full capacity? Is not quite at full capacity Verlander better than what they were rolling out? Probably. Last start was in Coors. So take that for the appropriate, a grain of salt as well. But yeah, I mean, you have to be concerned. This is not the guy you're thinking you were going to get. But the thing is, he's had 2 starts where he had like a rough first inning and then went like 6 innings without allowing another hit. So he's had his brilliance in there too, which is another reason why I'm probably not super duper concerned. Does draw the Blue Jays in this next start. At least it's in Taxpayer Field instead of Toronto. But then at Atlanta after that. So these next 2 starts won't be easy. He misses Pittsburgh. He misses the Phillies.
Is Citi Field the only field referred to as Taxpayer? Or do you have like 12 or so that you refer to that?
There's an old joke listen I always used to refer to. I think it was more because he was like dismissive of the Mets and all that because as a Yankees fan. But I also think it's because of the ownership connections to the Madoff scandal.
I guess that kind of ties in there. I was going to say, I look forward to what we get to call the potentially, maybe, who knows, Las Vegas Field, because I'll have some good names for that one too.
Yeah, and didn't Citibank also get a bailout too?
I imagine so at that point.
And so double joke there.
With Verlander, I'm pretty sure he'll be fine. I mean, he's Justin Verlander. He usually is, but he's 40, and the K rate is down almost 10%. It's 9%. I know it's only 5 starts. I'm not freaking out yet, but I'd like to see that jump up pretty quick here in the next few starts.
Yeah, I do too. We'll watch that for sure. He may have, I mean, the fact is, last year was a miracle. I think we were so spoiled with it.
Yeah.
But he's away from the Astros too. Maybe, it does rate if somehow the Astros are still masters of run prevention despite losing 3 starters and Verlander. That's pretty crazy, by the way, that they're still like the best pitching staff in baseball despite all that attrition. Do they still have some sort of magic of their own?
Just some organizations are just freaking good. It's frustrating. And especially as someone who used to root for a team that was in the AL West, it's frustrating. But yeah, I was going to say, you just put that comment in the chat. Jeff, our Reds, clean sweep over the Cubs.
Reds. That's right. Yes. And it's because you invested. You believed in Matt McClain.
Right. I have McClain, India, and Nick Senzel on one main event team. So every time the Reds score 10, I'm like, I'm in for that. I mean, McClain. Dude,
Jonathan India yesterday, 2 homers. Woo. Yeah.
We talked about McClain, man. McClain hit like 480 this week, had a steal, had a home run, had a bunch of counting stats. It's only been a week and a half, I guess. But man, he looks good at the plate. He has some good at bats too. I'm starting to really like our boy Matt McClain here.
Yeah, and he's the first of many to come up. But the question is, what position is he ultimately going to play? But he had 2 homers this week, I think. He's batting second. You got to love it.
Yeah, he had the one that went off. I forget whose glove it was, but someone popped it over the fence. And I was like, thank you. I love that.
Yeah.
Before we move on to week 10 and talking about some fab, a couple pitchers who have been awesome in May. I want to get your thoughts on them real quick. Michael Wacha, 32 innings in May, a 0.84 ERA after a pretty rough start to the season. And John Gray has been really, really good. 4-0 in his 5 starts in May, 1.95 ERA, 23% K rate, 4.8% walk rate. Do you think we're finally getting the John Gray we wanted for many years?
Yeah, maybe. And the thing is, like, both of those have been kind of under the radar, especially I think Wacha. He had that huge start on like a big DFS night where he came up huge in like a late night home start 10Ks or something like that for Waka before that. And he was just so bad in April. It kind of just, I was like, I dismissed that. I was like, okay, well, he had one good start. Great. And the Padres have been so bad too at the same time that that is kind of wild to see him have such a good month. But yeah, Gray, on the other hand, yeah, I did expect good things from him. It's just, you know, with John Gray, it's always, is he healthy right now? Yeah. I mean, and that's the worry is like, okay, will it last?
Yeah, I agree too. I like Gray also. I think the Rangers are a really fun team to watch. We talked about them a bunch last week, just based on, you know, they passed the Rays in run differential, so we're just kind of noting that. But still hanging in there, two games ahead of the Astros. You know, the Astros were 8-2 last 10. Rangers are 7-3. They just need to get DeGrom back, and he's throwing side sessions, but he hasn't thrown more than 32 pitches in any of them. I still think we're a ways away from that. It doesn't really seem like, he seems like he's progressing, but not especially rapidly.
Yeah, I think you're right that they're just. And the thing is, they have the luxury with the extra wild cards. I mean, yeah. Take your time with DeGrom. You're already in a good position. You're doing well. Them and the, you know, Texas and the Orioles were the battle of the second and third best records in baseball this weekend. You know, just better than the Dodgers even. So just a reminder that how well the Rangers are playing. The Astros are right on their heels is their problem for the division. But as we saw last year, yeah, you'd rather play a less series. You'd rather have home field, but it's not. It's nice. It's not necessary, though.
Yeah, agreed there. Let's jump into week 10. We've got seven game teams. We got Arizona, Colorado, Boston, Tampa, Houston, the Angels, Minnesota, and Cleveland. We do have a weird two teams have a weird schedule this week. The Cardinals and the Royals play five games. They don't play Wednesday and Thursday. They have back-to-back off days, which I guess they play each other to start the week, so then they don't start the series till Friday. But it's can't remember the last time I saw I always use the RotoWire, you know, pitching probables to look at this, and you don't see the double blank very often.
No, I think I've seen it like one time in the last 10 years. I'm with you that Zola and I were talking about on today's show on SiriusXM that we think it's because of the holiday on Monday. They wanted to have that game on Memorial Day.
I hate there's eight teams off tomorrow, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, everybody should play.
Yeah. Agree. It's one of those days. We should have games from 10 to 10.
Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day.
Yep.
All three of those days should be a full schedule.
Yep. I'd throw the first real opening day in there too. But yeah, those 4 days, we should have games starting at 10 and we should have games ending at 10. It really, I know making the schedules impossible and stadiums and schedule and all that, but.
Well, and especially with the balanced schedule this year too. And it's a new challenge.
One of those days, we just should have games all day and be able to flip it on to watch. There are day games, so people set lineups. The Guardians and Orioles play at 10. The Rangers and Tigers play at 10. There's a bunch of...
This is 10 West Coast time, 10, right?
It's the only time zone that matters.
West Coast time.
Yeah. A couple games at 11 West Coast time and a couple games at 1. So there's pretty much games all day. It's just not as many as we'd like. But yeah, if you're setting lineups, you have to get up early if you're on the West Coast.
At least there's no darn Peacock game at 8:35 local time.
I looked at that game and it was 10-10 by the time I looked at it this morning. I was like, what the heck is going on? I looked at someone sent me, I think it was Matt Modica, sent me Gavin Stone's line. I was like, he's going to have seven runs already? It's like 9:15 in the morning.
And got a no decision. That's the amazing thing. Yeah, poor Josh Fleming left hung out to dry.
For six innings in that game. I could not believe he was still in the sixth inning.
Although he threw like 90 pitches. Yeah. It was just... They were all hit hard.
He was very
five homers.
He was very efficient in giving up his runs. He was very quick about it. I saw in like the seventh inning, Jason Collette of RotoWire tweeted there were 20 balls over 100 miles an hour exit velo in the game as of the seventh inning, which is pretty wild.
Tough break if you bet he teased the under up to 20.5. Still lost.
Yeah, well, at least you're done early on. Anyway, you can go get some brunch or something.
Yeah, for sure. Although, have you plunked down for Peacock yet? By the way.
I think I have Peacock. I forget why. I'm trying to remember why I have it. I think there was something on there that I watched. I did not watch the game this morning, though, but I forget what it was. It's probably something my wife wanted to watch. I don't remember. I think we do have it.
I have paid for HBO Max, and it's just Max now. Excuse me. But by the way, and it's because of Succession. I'm not there yet. I'm trying to stay off Twitter.
I quit Twitter at 5 o'clock today, which was tough because I was doing Fab and all that, but I pretty much quit Twitter at 5.
Yeah, but how long are you going to have to quit to avoid spoilers? But are you going to watch it tonight?
I'm going
to
end the podcast with you, post this, and go watch it.
So we're in season 3, episode 3.4 or 3.5. We started watching it like 3 weeks ago. So we're blazing through it as best we can. But
do you like it?
Not going to make it in time. Oh, of course. I love it. It's phenomenal.
It's,
a,
It's funny. I first heard about it from Dalton Del Don and Chris List doing their podcast, and Dalton had his number one show of that year. And I haven't even heard of it. I'm like, I better check it out. Yeah. I was hooked from that on. So
I read like
that early on call right there.
We were watching Billions, and I'd read reviews of it, and people in the comments were saying Succession's much better than Billions. Yeah. Like constantly people saying that. I'm like,
I liked Billions early on, and then I think I quit at some point.
Yeah. I have not quit it. I took a while to come back to it though. Once Axe left, I'm like,
Yeah.
But although he's supposedly coming back for another season, so we'll see.
Yeah, I think I might be out anyway. Good offensive schedule this week. Arizona has a good week. They have seven games and four against Colorado, three against Atlanta. The Braves have a nice schedule. They only play six, but three at Oakland, three at Arizona is a really good setup. They're going to just the A's finish with Houston. They roll right into Atlanta like that. It's going to be awful. It's not going to be good there. Do you have any Braves or you think of any Braves you can think of? I would start them all this week. Colorado has a good week. They're on the road, but four at Arizona, three at Kansas City. Really nice pitching matchups there for the Rockies.
Yeah, absolutely. Although Arizona, maybe not as much. I mean,
they do get Gallen, and then they get Zach Davies, Ryan Nelson, and Henry.
But Arizona's just a good team, though.
They
That's
are.
The thing.
They are.
They
miss Merrill Kelly, who's been freaking awesome, by the way.
Yeah, another good outing today. That's right. Yeah. He has been freaking awesome. But, I mean, Arizona, they're a pain in the butt. They just keep on beating teams. They did run in the Red Sox this weekend, so they lost 2-3 against them, I think. But they're 30-23. I mean, they could still collapse. It's not late yet. But they're 2 months in, and they're still a playoff team. That's pretty darn impressive.
They're one of those West Coast teams, too, and, you know, there's only, like, three games left. I find myself watching a lot more of them than I thought I would when the year started.
Yeah, I just wish that stadium and broadcast team were a little better. But then again, people say that about me in the podcast and the radio show, so that's fine, too.
No one would ever say that.
Some would.
I don't mind that stadium as much on TV. I don't like it in person at all. I've been to a couple games I did not enjoy it in person. But I've been on TV. I don't mind it as much. But in person, you feel like you're in a gigantic, huge warehouse. It's very strange.
Yeah, I was thinking Office Park, same thing. Like, you go in and like you're down the left field line, and there's like this carpeted hallway, and you're almost looking like going into the office here.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird place, but
it's very stale.
Tampa and Boston also, if you can pick up any guys there, you know, those are probably teams, not many guys available, but Tampa has three at Chicago, four at Boston, then Boston has three against our Reds and four against the Rays. Some good matchups there.
Yep.
Before we get into Fab, real quick, since we're talking about Fab, this is kind of a Fab adjacent. Got three rookie, like big Fab call-ups I wanted to ask you about. One was actually drafted everywhere, two are call-ups. I want to know how you feel about dropping or holding them. The first is Grayson Rodriguez in Baltimore. He was obviously drafted everywhere, especially once it sounded like he was going to make the opening day roster. Brutal start to the year. 7.35 ERA, 1.7 whip, a ton of walks, a ton of home runs. He got a little bit unlucky. The BABIP's high, the strand rate's low, but he's got sent down to AAA this week. What are you doing in a I'm asking a 12 and a 15. Obviously, people have played different size leagues. Are you holding Grayson Rodriguez while he's in AAA?
No. I'm dropping in both mix, almost any mixed format I'm dropping. I just haven't seen the signs. I mean, he had a couple of starts which are pretty good, but even in his best starts, like the command hasn't been great. I've been holding, you know, AL only tout wars. I'm holding on to him, and I've been having him active, and that's been fun.
Hasn't helped your ratios.
No, it has not. Grayson Rodriguez, Lance Lynn killer combo has been fun. Ooh. Well, Lance Lynn's been good the last three starts, but it's tough. It's really tough to be patient on him. I think Grayson Rodriguez is American League translation for Brandon Pfaadt. I mean, I think they're very similar situations there, and I think Pfaadt's on our list.
Good transition right there. Are you a drop on Pfaadt also in 12 and 15s?
Yes, I am. He got his chance after, and in both cases, the organization saw something that he wasn't ready. Right.
Yep.
Didn't make the opening day roster in either case. Grayson came up a little quicker because of an injury, but the fact is the organization saw something. I don't want to appeal to authority, but at the same time, their authority is probably stronger than ours. Like, how could they send this super wonderkind down? And
both teams that are trying to win too. So they're not playing, they're not playing games with service time or anything. Like, they're trying to win games. They're both in the mix. I'm a drop on both of them too. I agree with you. Even in 15 teamers, I'd probably be more likely to hold Rodriguez, but I'd probably hold neither. But Fott, I mean, not striking anybody out. It looks like he doesn't trust his fastball. You watch him and it just like, it's not there. Yeah. Swing strike rate's under 10%. There's just a lot, not a lot here to like from a right now perspective. It's one of those things like you could hold him if he's down a month, he might come up and be bad again. Like, it's just, I don't think I can do it with someone that just didn't show enough for me. I think I'm using that roster spot somewhere else.
Yeah. And there's nothing stopping you from bidding back, going after him again when he gets called back up again.
For sure.
Although then you're fighting everybody else. I get that.
And he probably gets picked up next week. Someone will probably take a stab and stash him. I'm fine with that. I'm fine if I miss him. He didn't show me enough to me to be super worried about him coming back to bite me too much.
For sure.
And it might be a while till he's back anyway. Like, he might go make 5 or 6 starts down there. And then at that point, you're at 6 weeks. There's no way you can hold him that long.
Yeah, that's how I feel. And so I've been, and it'd be like, it's kind of like his teammate, Jake McCarthy, got sent down, was tearing it up in AAA. Okay, I'll bid on him again. I may not get him. I may lose, but he's available to me. It's just dropping for now.
Yeah. Speaking of hitters, there's one rookie hitter I wanted to ask you about, and I got him in a couple spots, and it's not been great. We talked about Matt McClain has been really good. Matt Mervis has been the opposite. It's been rough, and he's not playing very much. He sat today against Ashcraft, who's a righty for the Reds. So you hate to see him. Mervis is a lefty, and you hate to see him sit versus a righty. That means he's, you know, not only not losing games against lefties, but losing games against righties is really tough. He's hit 200 through 66 plate appearances. Does have 2 home runs. Hitting them all hard. 52% hard hit, 13% barrel, but a ton of strikeouts. Was not a big strikeout guy in the minors. In AAA in 2022 and earlier this year, he was under 18%. So I think this is the first time through kind of thing. I'm just worried that I'm worried what the leash is here. All of the Cubs are so bad that they should just play him. I mean, quietly, the Cubs are the worst record in the National League.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Actually,
they're worse
after
than the Nationals.
Our Reds swept them.
Yeah.
They almost got no hit on Friday. Hunter Green looked great, although he needed a lot of pitches to get through 6 innings. But still, a lot of swing and miss. The Cubs, I mean, they have individual players that are having decent years, although Morel started to slow down. But Patrick Wisdom has started to slow down, although he had a big day today. But on Friday, he was benched for like the third time in 5 games, and he was 1 for his last 21 with 14 strikeouts.
That's a lot.
That's my math isn't very strong, but that's 2/3 of the time. That's bad. I know he strikes out a lot. That's part of what he does, but they're in a big tailspin. They're having a horrible, awful, no good month. I don't think it's permanent. And again, they're in the right division. They're 5 games out of first place.
Worst record in the NL, but 5.5 out of first is pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is. And it just shows like why there's still hope for the Cardinals, why there's still hope for the Cubs. I mean, even our Reds have a hope, and they have tons of prospects still, but I think they'll fade pretty fast once they play tougher competition again.
Do you think we're seeing De La Cruz and Encarnacion Stroud this week?
No, I do not.
Pretty soon though, right? All the service time.
Because they're on the road. Okay. It's not service time.
Oh, you don't think it is?
I don't think so. Okay. I really think it's, first of all, that's not been their history. They haven't been like holding guys down for the sake of holding them down. It's more like the determination when they're ready. But the other reason is they're on the road still. They're at Boston this week. Maybe over the weekend they come home, they face Milwaukee. Yeah, maybe then. But
I think we see one of them this weekend.
We might. I think Encarnacion Strand will see before De La Cruz. And the reason is they have to figure out where he plays, where McClain plays, and how to make that all work. Spencer Strider has been playing. I mean, Spencer Steer. Strider's been pitching well, too. But Spencer Steer has been playing really well lately. And they can't really take him out of the lineup right now. They can't justify that.
No, I agree with you. It's a good problem to have. Although every tweet with Ellie De La Cruz is hitting a ball like 460 is he's a fun Twitter player, to say the least.
Yes, he is. And I will be ecstatic. I'll be over it. And maybe, hey, prove me wrong tomorrow, and that's fine. I'll bid on him. I picked him up in Yahoo Friends and Family a week ago. So
I noticed.
I
went to look and You had him and somebody. There was somebody else I looked
Royce
at.
Lewis.
You had. That's who it was. Yeah.
Yep. Royce Lewis is getting the call, by the way.
Yeah. We're gonna talk about him in 1 second. But
I will not spoil any more then.
Just to answer the question on Mervis, I'm a hold in 15. I'm a drop in 12s.
That's fair. I think that'd be the same.
I think I'm going to give it a couple more weeks. The fact that I spent him on a lot of fab money on him shouldn't, you know, impact it too much, but it does for me a little bit. You know, I bet it for a reason. He's obviously a big prospect, and I think it's a first time through strikeout thing. I have to think it turns around pretty quick. I'm going to give him a couple more weeks and figure it out there. Before we do jump into fab, one trade question in the chat, Jeff, which side do you like? Josh Jung and Luis Robert or Yordan Alvarez and Lucas Giolito? That's a strange one.
That's not hard.
I think I like
Alvarez.
I'm taking the Alvarez side too. I kind of poo-pooed Josh Jung last week. He's been awesome. I was wrong in that one. I was comparing him to Morel as not a great challenge trade, but Luis Robert's great. I'm taking Alvarez. I almost always like in the best player in that deal. And I think I take Alvarez there.
And Giolito has been fine after a bumpy start to a season. I know he struggled a little bit again this week against the Tigers, but I still like Giolito long-term.
Yeah, I think that's good too. Yeah, someone mentioned in the chat that Matt Mervis sat against Ashcraft today. I did see that, noted that. Him getting set down, which noted here, is probably not impossible. So obviously if that happens, that probably changes my drop situation, but I'm still a hold for right now. But let's jump into this week's fab. But first, a note from our sponsors at Rival Fantasy. A new Major League Baseball season means it's time for a new kind of daily fantasy baseball. Rival Fantasy is the fantasy platform reinventing the way daily and weekly games are played, and they brought new games to the ballpark this year that fantasy players won't find anywhere else. Rival Fantasy games include Fantasy Bingo, Head-to-Head Player Challenges, and Fantasy Book, where users can select over-unders for 2 to 5 players. With games like this, daily fantasy has never been better. Right now, RotoWire listeners can get a $50 protected first play. That means if you win your first play, you keep your winnings. But if you lose your first entry, Rival Fantasy will fully refund you up to $50. Go to play.rivalfantasy.com/signup. Use code ROTOWIREMLB at signup. Deposit a minimum of $25 to get your first entry in Rival protected up to $50. Now it's time to step up to the plate. Become a Rival today. Welcome to the arena.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's UNIFYDHealing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
So, Jeff, the big fab guy today was Dodgers pitcher Bobby Miller. He pitched earlier in the week but was not available in most NFBC leagues. Obviously, most leagues we could pick anybody up. He's been gone for the whole week. But in leagues where you couldn't pick someone up or, you know, your fab run Sunday, Bobby Miller was the big cup pickup. I lost him by $3 in a league, which was a little frustrating. I was mildly aggressive, and he went actually fairly low in like the 170s in one of my leagues. The other one was like 288 and 320. Where'd he go in yours, and how aggressive were you in trying to get you know, another one of these stud young pitchers?
Because I spent on Yuri Perez in two of my three mains, I wasn't that aggressive.
Yeah.
But he went 364, 330, and 161, believe it or not.
And I had the same. I had a 177. I was at 174. So mine was kind of like, I'd love to get him, but I only have like $450 and I need offense there, but I need some ratios. I would have liked to get him for that price. I certainly wish I'd bumped up a little bit, but you know, as we see with some of these guys, who knows how they work. But how do you feel about Miller in terms of kind of moving forward? Do you think he sticks? It seems like he will for the moment. Looked good in his first start. That was against the Braves too. Obviously the stuff is there. How do you feel about Miller kind of going forward? Do you think he'll end up working out for those fab prices?
I don't like him as much as Perez. I don't like him as much as Tanner Bibee. But, I mean, he was impressive in his first start against the Braves. Yeah. You know, I don't know how often you're going to win going five innings, and I think that's going to happen a lot. But
helps it on the Dodgers, I suppose.
Yes, it does. It helps that Gavin Stone sunk like a rock. So he's but they're going to bring back who's the other kid? Grove
is going to pitch
next week. So and replace Stone.
Urias is not far off. It sounds like probably not this weekend. They play the Yankees this weekend. I mean, that's going to be a fun series, Dodger Stadium, by the way.
They did kind of slightly delay him, though. He did a lot of throwing on flat ground, but didn't throw off a mound yesterday.
He was supposed to, and they said it's, so it's a little bit setback. So I think he was kind of hoping for this weekend. Maybe we're talking next week. But you're right. That's a little weird, like, what's going on there. But someone has to come out. I would think Miller would stick over Grove when Urias is back. Or maybe I don't think they take Syndergaard out, although that might be the correct answer.
Eventually, they got to be convinced that they have a better option. So this is a pretty big audition for Miller. I mean, I like the first start against the Nats. Don't love it against the Yankees, but at least it's not in Yankee Stadium.
I assume that's Sunday Night Baseball next week. I assume it has to be, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. They already said that on the broadcast tonight.
Okay.
The Sunday Night crew, by the way. I think I've mentioned that before, but I really like Ravitch and Perez. I think they're a good group. And David Cone, too. That's the third. I like all three of those.
Yeah, I was definitely in on Miller. I wasn't in the 300 range just because I don't have the money. I've spent on offense, my problem. I spent on Mervis. I spent on McClain. My offenses have been worse than my pitching. But this is the first week in a while where I kind of feel like maybe I've found some roster help here and I'm kind of moving in the right direction. We'll see how long that lasts. Next week, I'll probably be saying how bad I am again. But this week was a little bit positive, moved up a little bit, which is good. So I think Miller's actually been really good. I like the fact he threw 120 some innings last, or 100, yeah, 120 some innings last year. All right, maybe 111, something in that range. So he can, like, you're going to get, I think, 90 to 110 innings out of him. He's thrown what, 20 this year, so you're going to get a good chunk come through here. You look at the minors last year. The strikeout rate was huge. The walk rate was not a problem. He was like 7.5%. You'd love to see that from a young pitcher. I love Dodgers pitchers with their offense, with their coaching staff. I think that I think he's going to be really good. I was in on him. I do like him. I think I agree with you on Perez. I feel like Bibee more. I'm pretty close on Miller and Perez probably, but I think he's going to be good. I wish I'd gotten him, but it just you can only get so many guys, as you said before. Mike Soroka, I guess it's Michael Soroka now, apparently getting the
he's
call
serious.
Tomorrow.
He is a serious person.
It has been a long road back for Soroka. I think everybody's rooting for him. But he was 70% rostered in the main event. I did not have him available in any of mine. But he's only 10% available in the 12-team online championships. What were you thinking with Soroka? I always think everybody's rooting for the guy. He hasn't pitched really a lot of innings since 2019. Was obviously really good then. 2.7 ERA in 2019, 174 innings. Has been hurt since then, essentially. How do you feel about Soroka coming up? And were you in on him? And would you throw him this week for the two-step?
Oh, you have to. He's facing, no offense, your former A's.
So he gets a layup in the first start back, which is really nice.
Yeah. And it's a two-stepper. So, and the other one's at Arizona, which we talked about. Ballpark-wise, isn't super scary. And it's a good lineup, but not a, like, oh, God, I can't start him against lineup either. They can't hurt you like any other league average team can. League average offense, that is. If you got him, you start him. I got him in yogurt. I got Soroka in yogurt. Didn't get him in my main.
And you held him or you picked him up this week?
I picked him up this week.
Okay, nice.
And I got him for, bear with me, live looking up things is fun. But I got him for 73 with a backup bid of 51. So that's a 15-team mix. I saw him go for more in one of my main event leagues.
I would have thought he's probably in the like 125 range somewhere in there.
He went 175.
Oh, wow.
Right. More than Bobby Miller.
Oh, that surprises me.
And Max Fried was dropped in that league, and someone spent 271 on Max Fried.
Wow.
You know, honestly, I wouldn't have spent that much on Max Fried. I oversaw.
I haven't really looked at his prognosis. What is he? He began a throwing program 3 days ago. God, he's
another, at least a month out, right?
Yeah, at least a month out. Yeah.
Yes, there's a high ceiling. If you get 2.5 months of Max Fried at Max Fried levels, that's great. But that's not guaranteed either. I don't know. I would have done a keep him honest bid had I noticed him available and had the roster spot. But you know how we talk about stashing. In-season stashing is just as tough.
It is. And that's you're hoping for July 1st.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the hope. That's an interesting drop, though. That's we're getting to the point of the year where it is a drop. It's funny you mentioned yogurt. I did get Bobby Miller in yogurt for 192. So hopefully, hopefully works out there. I have a really good offense there. My pitching is DeGrom, Carlos Rodon, and someone else that's been hurt all year. I forget who it is, but I've pretty much been playing with 9 healthy pitchers all year. So it'd be good to get some fresh pitching blood there.
So I still have Scarf remaining, which is Scarf. Also an FBC. You gotta always drop it once.
Yeah,
nice. I have 585 left there. That's actually the most in my league. The bidding has been pretty aggressive in this league.
How's your pitching?
It's pretty good. It's okay. I'm like third place in the league. I might go big.
242.
I'm thinking about it's late enough that the fellow Scarfians probably aren't listening to this. If they're frantically fitting their bids in, they're probably not even listening. I don't think they listen.
If someone bids 243, you know that someone's listening.
Yeah.
So go 244.
Yeah, I just did. You know what? Yeah, I got to go higher now.
Now you got to go 246. Now
they're listening to that. Yeah. Mental gymnastics here.
I'm going to ask you in 10 minutes, assuming we're still on what he went for. But anything else you did with starting pitching? I found after Miller and Soroka, it was kind of a couple. There were some two starts. Ryne Nelson has a two starts with Arizona. Ben Lively with our Reds has two starts, but the first one's at Boston.
I couldn't do Ben Lively. I just couldn't. Yeah.
He's looked really good as first starts, but at Boston, I know. It's scary.
It's a tough ask. And there's a lot of history there. And then there's including his AAA this year, which wasn't very good. That makes me skeptical at best. I got Griffin Canning in a main event league.
Are you good? I looked at him. He has one really tough start, right? If I forget what it was.
He just shut down the Red Sox this past week.
He did. He pitched really well. He's at the White Sox. Oh, then at Houston, the second start.
Yeah. So, but you know what? At the White Sox has been very good lately.
That didn't scare me. And then I scrolled over and saw at Houston and I got a little freaked out with that one.
But honestly, I mean, I know they hit 7 homers today. So, but does that really even count?
They don't count.
I mean, everybody hits their turn hitting against the A's.
Jose Abreu hit a home run today. You know they don't count.
You saw the highlight of that, did you? Yeah, he ran around the bases and slid at the dugout, too.
And then they threw at him the next at bat.
Yeah.
Which is, by the way, also dumb.
Yes, it's hella dumb. Don't give up a homer.
Good Bay Area reference right there. It's funny that Abreu's first home run was 360 feet and just over the leaping outfielder. It was pretty funny.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I thought it was a nice day.
I thought his reaction was kind of cheesy, too, though.
But you know what? I understand. He is frustrated as all hell.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So the other guy I was kind of interested in was Sean Manaea, by the way. Sorry to interrupt.
So is he, do you think he's throwing Tuesday? Because I looked at this too.
Yeah.
He's been really good in kind of his bulk innings the last couple times out. I just don't know how stretched out he is, but if he's home against Pittsburgh on Tuesday, which is kind of what people are guessing, that's a pretty good start as if he can go five, because he looked really good last couple times.
That's what
I was
thinking. Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking.
I'm sort of half in on Ryan Nelson in Arizona. I like the first start. The second start's Atlanta, which scares the heck out of me. But you look at his last two starts, 11 and a third, one earned run, 10 strikeouts. He did have the four walks in one of those starts, but no walks against the Phillies. He only gave three hits in that game. Been quietly good in three of his last four starts. Not a huge strikeout guy, but if you need some innings and you can maybe your ratios are okay. He's someone that struck out a lot of guys in the minors, has not translated to the majors as of yet. But I think he's mileage. He was someone I kind of had down my waterfall, as you would call it.
As James Anderson called it, that I stole from. Jaime Barrios in the same boat. Yeah, I listed Nelson and Barrios both guys.
He threw in relief today or yesterday though, right?
Yeah, so it's kind of like, I mean, the Angels are always confusing with that last spot.
Yeah, and then I guess he can just throw it as I guess throw day, and then he could pitch against the White Sox later. But I just didn't know how that was going to work. What about relievers? I found this to be an impossible week with relievers. Didn't really do much. Was there anybody you were speculating on with relievers? Like maybe Giovanni Gallegos in a 12-teamer. He's taken the most 15-teamers, but Helsley's had some hiccups here, and Gallegos, I think, has six saves. Justin Lawrence in Colorado's pitching pretty well, and Pierce Johnson has an ERA over six. Nate Pearson kind of moving up the ladder in Toronto. He's like kind of setting up Romano now, but those are some names I was kind of speculating on, but there's not much relievers. If you're down in saves, it's not a good time to need them.
Yeah, I didn't dabble in any of those. Pierce Johnson like got the save yesterday, I think it was. He got a couple of saves this week, and then he also had the horrible blow up outing on Thursday where both he and Dylan Floro blew up. I had to make that roster choice between one of them, and they both blew up instead. So that was kind of fun. But no, I acknowledge Lawrence has pitched well. They have three guys that have pitched pretty well in relief quietly.
Pierce Johnson's whip is 1.8.
Yeah, he walks a lot of pitchers.
1.8 is, you ain't closing many games when you're putting two guys on an inning. That's tough to get around that.
This is some Brad Lidge stuff right now in terms of holding on to the closer job despite being awful.
Who was the guy in Sean Chacon, right? Had like 30 something saves in the ERA over six. Is that what it was?
Yep. Well, Lidge too with the Phillies under Charlie Manuel had one of those years.
I'm looking at Chacon. Wow, he had 35 saves in the ERA of 7.11.
Yeah.
His whip that year was 1.94.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy, but 35 saves. Some of the chat mentioned Yainier Cano. Yeah, he's been long gone in Baltimore. He's that dude's awesome. He gave up a couple runs this week, finally. I think he has his first walk of the season, too, which is crazy.
Drago bleeds.
Yeah, no doubt. What about hitters? You mentioned Royce Lewis earlier getting the call from Minnesota coming up tomorrow. Was not available in most NFBC leagues, which you talk about a lot just because he hasn't played yet. If he had been dropped and picked up, then he could be added. But this is a guy that was a massive prospect, tore his ACL last season. What how his playing time looks this week, and now he plays this week, but he could be someone that we're getting some big bids on for next weekend.
Yeah, we could. And James Anderson,
you picked him up in Yahoo. If he's available somewhere, I go grab him right now.
James Anderson was on SiriusXM with us, and he's like, if there's one hitter that can make an impact this year, I'm all over Royce Lewis.
Wow.
So when James Anderson vouches, I listen.
Yeah. Obviously, I think everybody who listens here probably knows James Anderson. He's the prospect guy at RotoWire, and he's really, really good.
Yep, he is the E.F. Hutton of prospecting.
I mean, I think that's going to be a really fun one. I hope
you didn't even you're just blowing past that reference. You like it? Don't even go with that old school.
I knew what the reference was. When people talk, he listens. But I assumed I was the only one because I'm old and I got it. But,
exactly.
It's gonna be a fun one. I mean, if we get either the Cincinnati guys called up and we get Royce Lewis, it could be a big Fab offensive weekend this week. We could be not quite Fabapalooza, but if we get a couple of those guys, we could have some big offensive bids next week. And we've had a lot of pitching so far, but this is gonna be a week for some big offensive prospects. So
if Ellie De La Cruz gets the call in the next 2 weeks, someone in some league will bid over 500 for him.
Yeah, if you have money left and he gets called up, you just do it, right? Like, what do you? It reminds me of it was many years ago when Carlos Correa got called up. It was kind of that one, like everybody, anybody that had money, that was the week. You just might as well do it because you're not going to be anybody else and you just do it. I think that'll be very De La Cruz right there.
Yeah, I might be that guy. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I imagine. Other players, you mentioned Jake McCarthy earlier, got the call back up this week. He was 62% rostered in the main event, 19% in the 12-teamers. Obviously, it was horrible when we started out the year. He was kind of their guy, one of their guys, and he was hitting the middle of the order for a while. Then he kind of moved down, and then he got sent down. He's hit 147 so far in the year. BABIP's really low. He's not striking out a lot, which is a good sign, but not hitting anything hard. Didn't love him coming into the year just because he hasn't hit anything hard, but he's obviously a guy who has a ton of speed. He had 23 steals last year. If you need stolen bases, this was a guy you had to go after.
Yep, absolutely. McCarthy is like you had to kind of control your illness impulse here, if you will, especially if you drafted and dropped him. Not be too proud to try to pick him back up, but I was in on him. I didn't get him, though. I mean, other people bid more. Yeah. And the thing is, he's batting eighth right now. So, I mean, it's not a slam dunk by any stretch.
And get a sit versus lefties. So he's going to be a platoon guy. And even against righties, like, they just have a lot of guys there he's got to fight with playing time. It's not an easy full-time job. He's got to hit pretty good to take that job back.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you've got Carroll, who's obviously going to play every day. You got Paven Smith is in there. You just have a lot of guys.
Paven Smith could not be in there, though.
Really bad last couple of weeks. But, and then you got there's a lot of guys, but if you play well, there's studs blocking you by any means.
Yeah, that's true. And especially, like, they sent down Alec Thomas, so that's also one less guy. And they sent down the guy that replaced him, Dominic Fletcher, who was good for a week and then was really bad the next week.
He was great when nobody had him. Then he got picked up and he was bad after that.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's kind of the way it works. Jesus Sanchez in Miami. It sounds like he's going to be expected to be activated on Tuesday. The Marlins have a bunch of games against righties this week. This is someone I was in on this week. He's going to play against righties. He was playing well before he got hurt. He's at 290, 51% hard hit rate, 15.5% barrel rate. We loved, a lot of people loved, I was one of them, liked Jesus Sanchez in the last couple of years, but it looks like he has maybe put together something. He does strike out a ton, but it was a lot of hard contact that came with it.
Yeah, there was. And I wasn't in on him because, I don't know, I see what he's done in years past, too. And, he's got those, like, physical skills that are always interesting, and I haven't, like, convinced myself, like, the batting average is ever going to get there. I guess that's where I'm at with him.
He strikes out a ton. The BABIP was 405 earlier on the year. But if you get over the strikeouts down in, like, 24, 25%, he could be really good. When you need pop, though, if you need home runs, he definitely has a ton of pop. There's no doubt. There's no question there. But I think you're right. I think the batting average is going to be clearly a problem there. Let's see. Someone mentioned in the chat that McCarthy took off from the bottom of the lineup last year and Smith got sent down. That's very true. McCarthy could get hot, and he got hot last year, but I'm not a huge fan of the offensive skill set. But, yeah, he'd get hot. He starts stealing bases in a fantasy. That's really huge right there. Other guys that were available, you mentioned Akil Baddoo earlier. In Detroit, they have five righties this week. He had a grand slam today. He's been playing pretty well. Luis Urias in Milwaukee sounds like he's going to be ready to go early this week. The 30th is the first day he's available to be activated. He had three hits today. He was 0-13 before that, but in rehab, so kind of starting to hit a little bit. He was someone I kind of like too. Second, third, and short eligible. I like this as a possible kind of deep league play as someone that's going to play once he gets called up.
I was just going to say, I like the three position qualification there. I think that really is handy. The fact that they lost Adamas maybe for only 7 days, but we'll see how long they lost him. That helps open up a playing time.
That was a scary one, by the way. Did you see the
super scary. Brian Anderson, like, finished the at bat in tears because it was off of his bat and all that. I mean, it was just awful.
He's really lucky he didn't break something in his face because he got hit and did not tip that or block that at all. Just hit him right in the eye. He was really lucky. He was just never lucky to have a concussion, but lucky no facial fractures.
Yeah.
Someone mentioned in the chat, Francisco Alvarez, someone we could trust the rest of the year. Yeah, absolutely. If you have him, you just slot him in one of your catcher spots. I think the Mets are going to start to play him more regularly. He's kind of already starting to get there, but he can flat out hit.
Second today, by the way.
He had 3-run homer too. Great. It was Coors, but still he's a guy you start a catcher right now. You don't even think about it. Someone else asked, Jeff, question for you, since we talked about him a bunch, do you think Michael Harris II gets it going a little bit here?
You know, he actually homered yesterday. Yeah, stole base today. I mean, there's some signs that he might be coming around a little bit. Made an incredible catch, Rob Schwarber, of a home run. Really sweet, sweet catch. And then Schwarber hit one into the water as well. So after that, but
I'm surprised Schwarber hit two balls well in the same game. That's usually more than he does in a week.
Dude, when he hits him though, he squares him up.
He really does.
It's so fun. That home run in the playoffs last year. Oh.
The one he hit in Wrigley is always the one to me, like on top of the scoreboard in right field, that like the ball was still there like 4 months later. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone asked, should they drop Wilson Contreras for Elias Diaz? I would not do that for sure. Other offensive players, anybody else you liked? Patrick Bailey, the catcher in San Francisco, has played five of the last six games. Owen Miller had some stats this week for the Brewers. Rougned Odor, the ghost of, is back. He's 29, by the way. I thought he was like 36. I couldn't believe someone said he was 29. I was shocked by that.
He came up at like 18 or 19. Yeah. Remember, bought a horse or two after his contract. Yeah.
I like that his brother is also named Rugden. That always cracks me up. Anybody else offensively you guys were really looking at? It seemed like the top group we talked about there. I looked at Willie Castro, who you liked last week, although with Kepler back and Royce Lewis back, I think the playing time maybe start to dry up there, but he was good this week for you. That was a good pickup by you. Anybody else that you liked on the offensive side of the ball?
Well, you mentioned Bailey. I picked him up in a league where we originally lost Jose Trevino and replaced him with like Jeffers, where we're just hoping maybe Bailey keeps playing a decent amount. It's nothing that we're super thrilled about. So we'll see. By the way, I did get Bobby Miller and Scarf. 253. 253 to 243. Somebody was listening.
That is amazing. There's no way that was coincidence right there.
It can't be. I overpaid by 10, but that was worth it. Just for the joke, if anything else. Anthony Volpe dropped in that league, by the way. That's going to be some fun bidding next week.
Four for his last 34, I think.
Yeah, he dropped in the order. It's getting rough, I understand, but someone will pick him up.
He plays better defense. I thought it was all right. He doesn't have a huge arm. He plays pretty good defense. I think they're going to stick with him. I mean, Peraza was hurt, but Oswaldo Cabrera has been really bad. I think they stick with Volpe, but I mean, he's a buck 98 right now. Like he's striking out a lot and hitting a ton of fly balls. It's a really bad combo for batting average.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Someone asked in the chat if Matt McClain is trustable this week. Matt McClain is trustable every week. My new favorite player.
Exactly. I picked up Spencer Steer in a 12 teamer.
I like that.
Yeah. CES might be coming up, and that'll be, you know, questionable. But Steer has been good, straight up good this year. You know, he's got a good on base. He already had a good on base before he was hitting for average. So I think he will get a decent amount of run. Yes, it could get crowded eventually. But
so what can the Reds do here? Like Steer can play first. Senzel can go to the outfield. Someone could DH. It could get crowded, but. Like you can get Fairchild and Newman out of there, right?
Yeah. I mean, Newman's already kind of out of there. Yeah. I mean, today McClain was the DH, I think, and they gave Newman a day at short or something like that. I saw they moved some things around, but Steer was a prospect of note.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to figure, you know, got to give him, unless he's like totally drowning, that you got to keep playing him. He's not pulling a Jose Barrero out there. He's actually hitting well. So, yeah.
I think I said it last week, but man, you get those two guys up. This could be one of those lineups that like you just watch a lot of games the second half of the year because they may not be great as a team, but they'll be really fun on offense if you get all those guys in the lineup. They could be a pretty good offense the second half.
Yeah, and
if not, they'll be fun.
They could. They're going to hit like a collective second time around the league slump at some point in time. They'll take their lumps, but they're going to be. They're going to be fun, and you know Louisville's still a fun team, and they're getting some pitchers too. Andrew Abbott's a fun pitcher too, so we'll see. I mean,
one of those teams they'll be on, and you'll flip on when they're up, and you'll want to watch a lot of those at bats, which is
exactly
which is really fun there. Good question. So we talked about guys who were struggling earlier. Someone asked in the chat, would you panic on Vinny Pascantino yet?
I don't have a whole lot of Vinny P, even though I like Vinny P. I like the idea of Vinny P. What's he doing lately?
I'm not panicking here. His strikeout rate's really low. He's walking a lot. His hard hit rate's still pretty good. His BABIP's a little low at 263, but I mean, he's got nine home runs, hit 260. I'm not panicking on him yet. I think I think he'll get a little bit better. I don't know if he's never going to run. So he's never going to get that, but I think we're looking at, good average with some pop. I'm certainly holding on him unless you're in the most shallow of leagues.
Are they playing him more at DH and playing Prado at first? Is that the deal now? I wonder if that's how that's affecting him.
Pascantino played first in six of the last seven.
Oh, it's not even that bad.
Okay. Before that, they had a bunch of DHs. So I think Prado's been sitting a little bit, but I mean, he's hitting second every day. I'm not worried about Vinny. Their team's
Dude, he's got an 808 OPS. What's wrong with him? He's got 20 going into the day, 23 walks, 29 Ks.
Yeah. I'm not worried. Yeah, I'm not worried either. I think I'm fully in there too. A few news and notes before we jump out of here. Eloy Jimenez returned on Sunday. Usually we have bad news in the news and notes. This is a good one.
Yeah.
No, not much to say here except for put him in all your lineups and get him in, and he'll be good to go on Monday. Hopefully, and it's not even an injury thing. It was the appendectomy. But
right. Two things.
Get him in all lineups. Go ahead.
Two things. Batted second today. Gotta like that.
Like that.
And the other thing is he did his rehab at AA instead of AAA because he's sick and tired of Charlotte. He's had multiple injuries.
Exact quote from him?
I don't know if sick and tired was a word, but he wanted a different venue.
That's pretty funny.
You know, remember when he was a prospect, they held him down a little longer at AAA Charlotte. You know, he didn't get the call in September that one year. Instead, they held him to the next year for like service time and all that crap. I thought that was funny. He's like, I have bad memories. I want somewhere else.
That's pretty amazing. Tough question of two guys we talked about earlier. Would you take Bobby Miller or Mike Soroka to stream this week?
So Miller gets two. They both get two starts.
Yeah, Miller's Washington, New York. Soroka is Oakland, Arizona.
I mean, if you need the Ks, I'm going Bobby Miller.
I'm going Miller because I want to be able to potentially hold that. So I don't think he's a stream. I want to be able to play him this week and then hold him afterwards. I think I'm going Miller there.
I agree.
But two pretty good options for streaming right there. We mentioned Willy Adames, 7-day concussion IL. Thyro Estrada, a guy who had been really good, someone that I was not really in on, but on the IL with a wrist sprain. That's a tough one. Those are stats that are tough to play. He's been really good for the Giants.
Hitting .301 with 13 stolen bases.
Yeah,
just been great. Really good.
Yeah, he doesn't hit the ball hard, but just kind of is getting it done. The BABIP's .371, so he's probably gotten some breaks there. But he's been a huge find and kind of picked up right where he left off from last year when he hits 14 and 21 home runs and stolen bases.
Yep. Question in the chat from Matt Leahy: do you think Jake Berger season over? You know, with Eloy back, the fact that they were trying Berger out at second base indicates they want to find a way to keep his bat in the lineup somehow. I know Romy Gonzalez homered today, I think, but at the same time, Berger, I mean, he's one of the few guys that's played well for them, slugging .591 on the season. I mean, yes, his on base isn't great, but.
And he's always going to be streaky. When you strike out 31% of the time, you're going to be streaky, but huge hard hit, huge bail rate. I think they want to try and get him some at bats too.
Yep.
Yeah, we mentioned the Willy Adames thing. It did seem like he dodged a bullet. Someone mentioned that in there. It seemed like he's really lucky he didn't break something there. Max Muncy left with a hamstring cramp this morning in the Peacock 7:00 in the morning game. You're like, oh, hamstring cramp. All right. And then they said he might be getting an MRI on Monday. So that's a little concerning there.
Yeah. And then at first, I think the speculation was, oh, no, did he hurt his knee again? And instead, it was the hammy. But that's not necessarily good. And it's not necessarily unrelated either. So yeah, I enough to be worried. 17 homers on the year. Great start for the season.
He has a couple of guys who had injury notes today, didn't play or left early. Juan Soto expected back on Tuesday. He missed Sunday with a tight back, and Anthony Rizzo had a weird little collision with Tatis where it kind of hit his neck, and he's expected to play Monday though. It sounds like the x-rays and all that were all fine there. Speaking of the Yankees, Giancarlo Stanton could begin a rehab assignment on Tuesday. There's a chance he'll be back next weekend. It seems like he really wants to play against the Dodgers in that series. I've read a couple things like they're really trying to push for that series, but obviously they're not going to do that unless he's fully ready. But sounds like we might get Stanton back for at least for next week, which is good because he's been out for quite a while, and hopefully he can stay in the lineup, which seems to never happen.
You know, they made a big deal about him last year in the All-Star game being from the area. And so he was super motivated for that. So yeah, I'm sure that has something to do with it.
He did hit a ball out of there, right? A few years ago.
Yeah, I think it's still flying, actually.
There's only like four. I think it's him, McGuire, and Willie Stargell, maybe? Maybe Piazza. I think there's four guys that have done it. But it's if you haven't been to Dodger Stadium, that is a shot to get that over the roof.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anybody else, Jeff? I feel like we've kind of hit all the fab guys. We hit all the news and notes guy. We talked a lot about guys who are streaking and struggling right now. Is there anybody else you want to talk about or anything else that's on your mind?
No, I think we're good.
Beautiful. You will be out next week. Congratulations to your daughter on her graduation. Congratulations to you too. Keeping a child alive and graduating that long is pretty good.
Thank you.
I'm only in first grade. Who knows what's going to happen? It's getting through those years is tough, but congrats on that. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Looking forward to it. Should be a fun night.
We're going to have a surprise special guest next week. I don't know who it is yet, but I've got some ideas in mind. So we'll get someone good. Nobody will fill Jeff's shoes, but we'll get someone good. It should be fun. So I look forward to that. Other than that, if you want to follow Jeff on Twitter, he's at Jeff_Erickson. I am at Scott Genstead. We thank Rival Fantasy for their sponsorship of the podcast. Really appreciate that. Other than that, if you could please rate or review the podcast, we do appreciate that also. Hope everybody has a good week and a good fantasy week. Hope your teams start moving up the top of the leaderboard here as we go along and get into the dog days of summer and baseball season. So this should be a lot of fun. I hope everybody has a good week and take care.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.